I want to say a warm welcome to all of you who are here to honor Michio Hoshina's life. This is a celebration of life because I think Michio was one of the most alive people I have ever known and very much in tune with everything around him, every person around him, and we are all aware of that, or we would not be here in such numbers. Before I begin, I'm going to say a few words, but I would like to introduce Michio's family, because they have come all the way from Japan to join us in this celebration. Naoko, would you stand up? Naoko. Okay, can you hear me now? Okay. This is Naoko Hoshino, Michio's wife, and his son Shoma is sound asleep, I believe. Is he? Thank you. And then Mr. Hoshino and Mrs. Hoshino, Michio's parents. And thank you for coming. And then we have Mr. and Mrs. Hagia. No, Naoko's family, and they have come from Japan. And then we have two people here who are, I am told, big brothers of Michio, Mr. Shinkai and Mr. Ito. And they have been with Michio, particularly in his work with children, bringing them to the Ruth Glacier each year for camping out and learning about Alaska wilderness. And I'd like to introduce some people who have a long history with Michio. First of all, Shirley and Clifford Waiawana from Shishmaref. They were Michio's first hosts in the New World. And Catherine Atla, who also was a hostess for Michio while he was doing his moose book. She's from Huslia. And then Walter Newman, who is a very close friend of Michio's. Do you want to stand up, Walter? And Walter is from Beaver, and I have a connection with Walter and Beaver because back in 1958, I was a coordinator for the American Friends Service Committee when we helped to rebuild the village of Beaver, and Walter remembers that, and his father, Turok, was one of the people I remember from Beaver. So these people are, they're not more significant than any of the rest of you, but I just wanted you to know, meet them, and to know who they are, and you will have a chance to talk with them later on in the program. We have just a little bit of arrangements. Basket on the back over here for anybody who has cards of condolence or anything like that for the family, and we have the Michio fund. We are setting up a Friends of Michio fund to possibly do something with translating some of his work so more of us can enjoy his wonderful writing ability in English. They are published in Japanese and everybody says they are wonderful books, but it's a little difficult for us to appreciate those. We know his pictures, we don't know his text, and his text apparently is very good. And then we have one basket which is for contributions of a few dollars apiece for the payment of our costs of the memorial service. And we would appreciate it if during the time that people are standing in front of the mic and so on, that people would not be taking flash pictures that would be a distraction for those who are coming up to to talk about Michio and about what he meant to them. It's amazing, I think, to me, and I'm sure to many of the people in Fairbanks who knew Michio here, because he has his house here and so on, to realize how far-reaching his acquaintances were around the world and throughout Alaska and throughout the states. Because when the news of his death reached people, we began to get messages from all over about this, and everyone was very sad, was very stunned, was very shocked. It is something about a sudden loss that just leaves you wondering why, and there is no why. There's only, perhaps the only way you can say is that there is a karma in each of our lives, and it's bigger than we are, and it governs what happens to us. So many of us here in Alaska knew Michio in his later years up here, but Michio came to Alaska first in 1971, and he was a guest of the Wayawanas in Shishmaref. And he came because he'd heard about, he saw a picture of a village in Alaska, and it appalled him to think how anybody could possibly exist in such a small group of people, because he was used to Japan, where you have large cities and large groups of people. So he wrote to Alaska and to the various mayors, and finally found one who would say, yes, you may come and live with us. So that is where he began his acquaintance with Alaska. But we haven't known, those of us who have known him in these late 1980s and 1990s, when he has been at the height of his powers, we haven't been aware of all of the strands that went into Michio's development. And they come up every once in a while. As a matter of fact, one person is here who was studying in the wildlife department at the University of Alaska with Michio. And Michio studied wildlife because he wanted to know more about these animals that he was photographing. He wanted to get some feel for their, how they existed, what they needed, how they reacted to the exigencies of life here. And so that is one of the strands of his learning. And he, I think the thing that is so amazing is that Michio was always learning, and he was always perfecting, and he was in many ways a perfectionist. He took thousands of pictures, but only a few were good enough to appear in his books, and those we know and treasure. But it's amazing to realize how he was single-mindedly perfecting himself and his profession. But in addition to that, he was relating to people in all walks of life that he came in contact with. And he was very much alive to what was real about people, what was genuine, what was the very sense of that person. And I think that is what marked him as being different. He always was aware of people, and he was a catalyst for bringing about situations involving the people that he came in contact with. It was not to use people. That's one thing I don't think Michio ever did. But he wanted to use them to illustrate things about the people, about the way people lived in this adopted land of his, and try to interpret them for people in Japan, because he knew that this whole aspect of wilderness, of wildness, of the big country, the big land of Alaska, was something that had to be interpreted to people in a country as small and crowded as Japan, so that they would understand that when he was taking pictures of animals, the reason the animals were there was because they had room and they had the ability to get all the needs of their life satisfied in this vast expanse of Alaska. I think also his reaching out to children, as he did with his over the last few years, when he was bringing these small children, school children, to join him on the Ruth Glacier for camping and so on, was introducing them to a way of life that's very different, because it's something we all take for granted. We all have sleeping bags in our closets, and we have tents, and we have all the paraphernalia that you need to get out. But that's not true in other countries, and particularly countries where cities are more prominent than rural areas. But I think that this kind of, it's an altruism in a way, but it was simply very much his own way of paying his debt to the people who had read his books and who were so enthusiastic about him. And we know how much people in Japan think about him, because that has come through very much in the conversations, certainly, that I have had. I have never talked to Tokyo so many times in my life as I have in the last 3 weeks, as you can believe. But it has been very interesting to talk to the people who are his publishers, who are his editors, who are the people who have brought his materials, his pictures, and so on, to a very wide audience throughout Japan, and that we are able to share with them. So I think this celebration that we are having today is very much a celebration of Michio's life. And as we go through, I'd like to just tell you what we are going to be doing in the next. The first the thing on the program is going to be a slideshow, which Kim Corral and Roy Corral from Eagle River have put together, of Michio's photographs, and they have put them in a slideshow so that many people can enjoy them, and she's going to narrate them, and she will be presenting the slideshow, and we'll have that just as soon as I've finished with the program. Then we are going to have a celebration of many friendships, and we want you to know that there are two microphones here. One of these is attached to a tape recorder, but the other one is not. And when people come forward to speak about Michio and about their feelings for him and so on, if you do not want it recorded, you merely tell Kathy and she will not record. But otherwise, the material will be recorded, and it is going to be a souvenir, a memorabilia for this gathering. For Michio's family, we want them to have it. So when you are speaking, you can decide how you want it. You can speak to directly and only directly, or you can speak to a tape and know that that will be treasured for a long time. Then we have, following that, and this is going to take as long as need be. We're not going to chop it off. People will have to be a little brief when they're talking, but the people who want to share a poem or want to share something like that, that's fine. And we are also using a lot of this material to go into a scrapbook, which will be for Shoma, and to tell him something about his father and how much he was revered by all his friends. And then we are going to have a song sung by Walter Newman, which was a wedding song for Naoko and Michio. And then Michio's family is going to lead us in the singing of the song, which is on the back of your program. And Shinkai, I believe, will be playing a guitar accompaniment. And then following that, we will have a group circle of friends. And I'm not sure just now whether we will be inside here or whether we will go outside where we can spread out a little more. But it is just a gathering and a holding hands of all of the people who cared for Michio. And following that, we will have our potluck meal for the evening. So with that, well, I'll turn it over to Kim to do the slideshow.
Okay, can you hear me in the back? Too loud? All right, before I begin, I wanted to share something very brief. This idea of expressing our sympathy and our grief, sharing it with friends, kind of evolved into, I wish there was something, one small thing, you know, we could do for Naoko and Shoma. And all I have is a picture. And that idea evolved into a sort of a memory book, a photo album, if you will, as well as a slideshow, which you're about to see. With contributors of about 30 who happened to provide a single image or a single slide. And so before I begin this slideshow, which to some extent duplicates this memory book, I would like to hand this for Naoko. For her to enjoy in her own privacy when she is ready. Okay, I think I'm going to go ahead and begin with the slides and introduce the first one with a little bit of a statement.
Kim, suppose we need the screen just a little bit higher?
I think I had it okay. I think we tested it, but we'll see.
Test everybody. If anybody can't see, well, let us know.
Okay, if it turns out you can't see, then please speak up. Okay, let's see, it should, is there a light on there? Yeah. Oh, that's okay, Mary, I think I need to go forward, sorry. Let's see. All right. Okay. In memory of Michio Hoshino, the production of this memory book and slideshow involves contributions of both words and photographs by friends and photographers. We offer these glimpses of Michio Hoshino as pieces to a much larger picture representing the man we shall all remember with great fondness and admiration. Although Michio Hoshino felt especially close to Alaska, his adopted home, he traveled the world extensively with his photography, thus meeting many people along the way. Every encounter with Michio Hoshino was memorable for all who crossed paths with him. As you can see, he had quite an infectious smile, a warm heart, a taste for simplicity, a childlike humor, which we'll see in a bit, and a passion for life and wilderness that he translated masterfully through his camera lens. Although Michio Hoshino's photographic works are undoubtedly among the finest in the world, and some would say the finest, he always remained a kind and humble man. Michio, although we knew you far too briefly in this lifetime, we feel deeply honored to have known you at all. Your memory lives forever in the hearts and minds of everyone you touched with your light, your laughter, your visions, and your gentleness. Your spirit was far too great to be confined only to our world. And although there is sadness and grief in your passing, we take sanctuary today in this refuge of joy as we come together to celebrate the memory of your life, your gift to us all. Michio liked to visit the Churchill in Canada to photograph polar bears. And they travel in these tundra buggies where I believe people reside for the 2 weeks they are there. And Johnny Johnson, Peggy Johnson, fellow photographers, conveyed to me that Michio was often causing a lot of frustration among professional photographers because of his clumsiness on board this tundra buggy. And they were saying that often they had to turn around and yell at him because he kept moving and rocking and they couldn't hold their camera lenses still. And one day, it was rocking almost out of control and people were getting rather frustrated, and all at once everybody turns to Michio and shouts, "Michio, stop that!" And Michio, with his childlike face, looks back with such innocence and says, "Not me, bear!" And all these two bears were pushing the buggy back and forth, so he got out of that one. It was conveyed to me from Ken Witten, who spent numerous trips with Michio up in the Arctic in Anwar as Michio went to photograph the caribou migration. And oftentimes he would hitch a ride with Ken on Ken's plane. But then one day he said to Ken, "Ken, let's go look at caribou. And this time I'll provide the transportation," with pride, he says. And then Ken goes on to say, "We had one of the most wonderful experiences of my life. Twice that afternoon, we landed well in front of roughly 100,000 rapidly moving caribou and waited for them to come over the horizon and swarm past us. The TV crew did their filming, and we took our own photographs and just enjoyed the day." Poetry in pictures, isn't it? This is on the new cover of Audubon magazine, I believe. I received recent word from a writer in Ambler, Alaska, Nick Jans. The previous image illustrated the cover of Nick's recent book, and his words here, I'd like to read something to you. "In September of 1993, Michio, Naoko, and I were camped at the confluence of the Nuna and Hunt Rivers in northwest Arctic Alaska, waiting for caribou. Michio was working on his writing in the wall tent while I kept watch. The caribou were few and far between, and I think it was over an hour before I called, 'Caribou, Michio, come fast.' Wham, clank, crash. Michio ran headfirst into the Coleman lantern swinging from the wall tent's ridgepole and grabbed his tripod without missing a beat. I know it must have smarted, but he made no comment, and neither did I. The caribou passed and Michio headed back into the tent. A few minutes later, more caribou came trotting down the ridge, this time a long string of heavy antlered bulls. Michio, caribou! Wham, clank, crash, he did it again. And the next time, the fourth time he missed because I took down the lantern, Nick says. He wasn't being clumsy. All that mattered was the skyline shot he saw as clearly as if it already existed. The physical world around him, even his own body, was an encumbrance, a mere distraction. All his being was concentrated on the one shot, the only shot in the world just now. It was this zen-like focus and his all-encompassing patience that shone through his work, gentleness of spirit and love of life, of beauty. That's all he saw. This is a photograph by Tony Dawson, who said that Michio was so proud to catch this salmon, his first one on a light tackle gear. McNeil River, where he often photographed the brown bears. That's Mark Newman in the picture with him. Oops, looking at his fish again. This was one of the first pictures to come to me when I started requesting photographs, and I tell you, as I opened the envelope, I couldn't get through it without tears. He was always so happy. That's how I remember him. From Tom Mangelson. This is in Frederick Sound near Admiralty Island, where Michio was photographing whales, humpback whales. And I remember one time Michio was at our house on his way to and from Japan, and he says, "Oh, I've got these slides I have to show you." And I said, "Well, Michio, just clear some space on our light table." I was in the middle of a project, and he moved everything aside. And he throws down these images, and he was so proud. And we were in complete awe at the majestic views that we saw. But what was so funny is he went back to Japan, and I said, "Michio, don't leave any of those. Don't get them mixed up with the ones that are on our table." He says, "Don't worry, Kim, I won't." Sure enough, he goes to Japan, and he comes back to our house. And my husband says, "Michio, come here. You don't have to go to Southeast Alaska to get these wonderful whale shots. I got these right on Turnagain Arm. Come here, I want to show you." And he takes Michio to the light table, and Michio takes the loop, and he looks and looks at Roy, and was so humble he didn't want to say, "Those are my shots." But I warned him, he left them on the light table. Of course, he took them back. But this is hard to see. I had a photographer call and say, "I really want to contribute, but all I have is a print on my wall, And so he tried to take a picture of the print that was on his wall. You'll see it in the next frame also. What it is when Michio was in Point Barrow photographing the whale rescue. And I received many comments where people said, Michio was the one photographer, the one writer, the one reporter who was out there all the time. And even Frost bit his nose while he was out there. He had a certain fortitude that is very rare to find. Harder to see, but that's the same shot closer. Is Karen here? Karen related a story to me on the phone, and I'm hoping that I get it right. I thought it was a very beautiful story, and I may have a few of the minor details wrong, but the gist of it goes like this. This is in July of 1979, I believe, where Karen in the middle, Culligan Taylor, and her husband Mike, she translates his books for him. They were walking along some forested area in Gustavus, where Michio and Naoko recently bought some land. And the sun was filtering through the heavily forested area. And he turns to Karen and says, with Naoko by his side, "Now my dreams have come true." And that was in reference to the family that he has with Naoko and the land that he had long since wanted to buy. Notice Michio's arms are standing up in this particular photograph. It happened to be one my husband shot, and Michio is, "I'm here." And what I wanted to relate about this has nothing to do with this picture, but one evening Michio showed up at our house, and it was the very first and only time he spent the night. And I must admit, I was honored to have him there. And I was eager to pick his brain about the business of photography, and he would have none of it. He was lying on the carpeted floor discussing his engagement to Naoko, and he was intrigued by the fact that my husband and I share a difference of 16 years between us, and Naoko and him also had a similar age difference, and he wanted to know if the old man could do it, could he too? But more importantly, my son, who was then a toddler, was crawling all over Michio, and I was afraid he might be annoyed by it. But Michio let him crawl, much like a grizzly cub would do, over and under. And as we were talking about just things in general, life and family, Michio said, "You know, your son is so comfortable with me, Roy, because we look so much alike. They're both Asian with dark features." And Michio said, "But I'm the more handsome of the two." But then he sat up rather quickly with my son in his arms, and he says, "But you know, I would trade all my photography away just to have a family." And so he got what he asked for. And Naoko and Shoma gave him his dream. I received condolences to pass on to Michio's family from various places, and I believe this one came from Germany. fellow wanted to be sure, Winfred Wisniewski, I believe was his name, he wanted to be sure that he was also included in sharing Michio's memory. And that's him on the left, a photo by Tom Mangelson. As you can see, all creatures were of significance to Michio. This is Michio in Japan with snow monkeys. A photo by David Fritz. I guess Michio was a master fire builder as well as a master photographer. Provided by John Hechtel. The images you're seeing are a collaboration of many people whom I won't be able to recognize here, but their names are indeed provided to Naoko, indexed in this album that she has. However, I would like to acknowledge Larry Minden, Michio's agent, who so graciously provided us with Michio's work. This is a photograph, we're nearing the end, of Tom Walker and Michio, with Michio laying on Tom's lap, laughing and enjoying the day, a way we all would like to remember him. And so, in the end as we know it, Michio became part of the weave of the wilderness tapestry that he loved so deeply. In that wilderness, I believe, we'll encounter Michio's spirit surrounding us all joyfully. From every Teklanika sunrise, to every midnight dance of the Aurora Borealis. And in closing, I'd like to recite some borrowed words from Ambler writer Nick Jans, who said, "I forgive the bear who took Michio. Didn't he know who Michio was?" Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kim. And that was a wonderful work of love. To begin the next part of the program, we have a couple of official letters and one not so official letter, which we would like to share with you. The unofficial letter will be read by Clifford Wayawana, the mayor of Shishmaref, and it is from Michio to the mayor of Shishmaref, asking if he can come and stay in his village. Mr. Wayawana.
Thank you. I'm no longer the mayor of Shishmaref, but I was then when Michio sent a letter. For those of you that want to see it later, we'll have it around. It says, "The mayor Shishmaref, Alaska, and I believe it was in 1974, and I would just like to read it. Dear Mayor of Shishmaref, in writing this, I wish to count on your kindness and courtesy. I am Michio Hoshino and a Japanese student of 20 years old. I am really interested in the great nature, wildlife, and so on in Alaska. I'm going to go to Alaska in the summer season. And if it's possible to me, I would like to go to Shishmaref. And I want to stay there for about 1 month to live with the people in Shishmaref. I have no friends in Shishmaref, so if it's possible, would you please introduce any family who accommodate me? I want to know the nature, wildlife, and the living in Alaska. Well, I close this letter. Please forgive my poor English. I hope you will give this your kind and prompt attention. Sincerely yours, Michio Hoshino. Just like to share the experience that we had, that Shirley and I had with Michio. It was the first time that we had somebody not from America staying with us. And Michio had a little tiny camp stove that he had in his backpack and a little tiny pot. And my grandmother was alive then, but we used to wonder how come he'd go to the storm shed of my house and cook. We didn't know that he was cooking rice. So after we found out that they can eat rice every day, we started making, we showed him the stove and told him to make big pot of rice for everybody. But the trouble I had with, my family had with Michio when he first came, he did not know no English at all, nothing. Everything was all sign language or writing. So we had a very difficult time, but he did pick up enough to be able to communicate with us. He said in his letter he wanted to stay 1 month, but he stayed with us over 3 months. So evidently he liked us and we liked him too. So it's a pleasure to be here, and I'm glad that we're all together. We've got a lot of fond memories of Michio. Michio was a kind man, good person to work with, and hopefully somebody will continue his work. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Clifford. The first official letter will be read by Sverre Pedersen, and it's from Governor Knowles for the Hoshino family.
Thank you very much. I'm Sverre Pedersen. I work for State of Alaska Department of Fish and Game, and it was with a great honor that I read this letter from Governor Tony Knowles to the Hoshino family. Dear Mrs. Hoshino and family, please accept my sincere condolences on the recent loss of a fine Alaskan husband and father, Michio Hoshino. My wife Susan and I were saddened to hear of his tragic death while on assignment in Russia recently. Although words cannot dim the grief or ease the pain of this sudden loss, they can help with the healing. The story of Michio's love affair with Alaska is inspiring. From his first day in Alaska as a young schoolboy, living with a native family in Shishmaref, Michio Hoshino embarked on a 25-year journey that would eventually touch the lives of countless people. His unique and wondrous photographs of Alaska, its spectacular wildlife, remarkable people, and rugged beauty have inspired have inspired many Alaskans, Japanese, and innumerable others who know his work.
Okay.
I've been requested to move a little closer to the microphone. Apparently, people in the rear are having a problem hearing me. For those of you who missed the first part of the letter, it is in a binder, and you'll be able to take a look at it later on. I will, however, continue the letter where I left off. Michio's legacy in Alaska is awe-inspiring. Arctic Odyssey, The Wind Story, his 1993 exhibit at the Pittsburgh Carnegie Museum of Natural History, as well as articles in National Geographic and other respected magazines. These captivating achievements all point to one overwhelming truth. Michio loved Alaska, and he wanted to give everyone the opportunity to join with him. He was definitely one of the great land's most outstanding ambassadors, and was revered in his homeland as well. On behalf of all Alaskans, we join with all who have gathered together to remember an extraordinarily talented and warm-hearted adventurer. I know you and the rest of your family in Japan will miss Michio, but his legacy will live on by virtue of his many photographs and publications in your memories and in the hearts and minds of those who knew him and his craft. Sincerely, Tony Knowles, Governor of Alaska. Let me just take 2 seconds to let you know who I am. I've actually known Michio for quite some time. First through my family, my father, a photographer and navigator with Scandinavian Airlines, who knew Kojo Tanaka, a photographer with whom Michio worked for a number of years. And my father often told me about Michio when I was, I was living in Alaska then, and he told me that Kojo had an apprentice who really wanted to come to Alaska and photograph wildlife, and that I shouldn't be surprised that someday he would look me up and seek my assistance. And that happened in, I think it was in the summer, late summer of 1976, I got a call from Michio, and he wanted to come over and visit with me. And he had a crumpled letter in his pocket from Kojo Tanaka to a photographer friend in Seattle, Robert Stevens, who also had written a letter of introduction for Michio to the university here. And so that's where our friendship began. I was a student in wildlife management here, and Michio was very interested in wildlife, so he asked me to set him in the right direction. And since 1976, we have enjoyed a very close and very warm friendship, both my wife and I. And in the last few years, with Naoko and Shoma as well. We went to great pains to not talk about photography. We talked about all sorts of other things, and had a really privileged time with him. So it's with a great sadness that we are here and that we recognize the loss of Michio. But on the other hand, I have very, very good memories of my relationship with him and with Naoko, and of the really good times that we had together. And I look forward to continuing our relationship with Naoko and Shoma in the years to come. And the same with for my wife, Fran, and my three children. Thank you very much.
I'll take the privilege of reading Mayor Sampson's letter to the Hoshino family. Mayor Sampson is the borough mayor of the Fairbanks North Star Borough. Dear Mrs. Hoshino and family, on behalf of myself and the residents of the Fairbanks North Star Borough, I'd like to extend my sincere sympathy on the death of your husband, Michio Hoshino, I was deeply saddened to learn of your loss and the loss of his talents to our community, to the state of Alaska, and to the world. I am sure that these days following Michio's death must be very difficult for you and your family. I hope that your sorrow lessens with time and the realization of the legacy of wonder and beauty that your husband has left the world through his work. As we begin the public presentations now, any of you who wish to come forward and speak about Michio are free to do so. And as I have explained, one of these microphones is just for the room here. The other one is for a tape recording of the comments for the families who are here. And you have the choice of deciding which you would like to have happen. And at some point during this time, I hope Catherine Atla will come forward, who she has a very special presentation to make today. So I'm opening the mic. Do you want to come now? Fine. Catherine Atla from Huslia.
Thank you and welcome to this celebration. More I called my boy, and I usually speak in front of 800 people, and I know this time it's a hard time for me, but bear with me. I was called from a nearby village in 1986 from the relatives that knows I like to give to the world. In far and near. So she called me if I would take this Japanese boy. I couldn't pronounce his name at the time, and say that we would take him in and take him out with us when we go moose hunting, as the moose hunting season started in September. And I'm pretty sure it was in September of 1986 that we took him out first day. And we have a houseboat, a good sized boat, and a little skiff. And we had our son Alvin J. Atla was about maybe 15, 16, but he was big. He was much bigger than Micho. And so he took the little skiff, and we went into a side stream of Kaikuk River, where there's a lot of moose. And Alvin J. had told his dad, Stephen Atla, try not to kill moose, so I could kill one in front of his new guest. Quits, he later on called his Japanese brother. And so we went on, and we would pass them in the little island in the river. And so we know that they were not that far ahead. And Stephen said, maybe they got something. So we turn around, and sure enough, on the other side of the island, here they were. And we stopped there, and Michio was busy taking pictures, and Alvin was trying to cut the neck off the moose. And first thing Alvin said, Mom, I really try hard to cut this neck off so the blood will drain and before we butcher it. And all he was doing was just every way. And I struggled with that big antlers, and I tried to cut. And he must at least take 150 pictures, Mom. And Michio would laugh. And another thing, when he first came, the day he was supposed to come, we look for older person with maybe gray hair. We didn't know who was coming. And so we were first one at the plane, and this little Indian boy came out and passed us, and we still look up there in the airplane. mature, in a way, matures look more like us Athabascan Indian. And I could see in the faces of his family and friends are similar to Athabascan Indians. And that's what we love more about Michu. And his smiles will never be forgotten. And so pretty soon one of the guys from the village, hey, this guy want you. They call their cousin Stephen. So we look over there and he was that Indian boy. So right away I went over and I said, you are the one supposed to come and stay with us? And he said, yes, I'm Michu. And I couldn't say the word, his name right. And we were so happy. And from that day on, when we saw him in 2 years, he spent another moose season with us a year later. Every time we see him, he was smiling. And that's the most thing that hurts when I heard the sad news this summer. I was here, but I couldn't bear to wait to meet her, his wife, and I call the boy my grandson. And I was worried that I was not going to meet them before they all live in the Japan again. I didn't know that my day was going to be yesterday. It was a special day for me to meet the family and the friends of Michu, and to meet my, what I call my grandson. There's a lot more stories of him that will go on, especially by me with my people in Huslia. We spent many hours in evenings talking to Michu about our lifestyle. The reason my relative called me, my cousin called me to take him in, was I never seen a classroom of the urban. I never seen a church till I was into 20s. And I started to learn English when I was 14. So that makes me a knowledge of my native life culture. And I can go as far back as I could what I heard through my grandparents. I could only speak one language for a long time, and I struggled to teach myself to write and to learn the English. I didn't have problem, because I talk lots and I ask questions and I learned to speak English.